Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on a Meatloaf Monday. And we're talking about Army Strong right now. So I'm going to bring in somebody who has had a long and storied career making the Army Strong. Major General Joe Arbuckle. Entered the Army as a private back in 1969, went to OCS later in 1972. He went back to Vietnam as an infantry officer, serving as an infantry advisor with the South Vietnamese Army, actually in the same capacity my father did, well, I believe with the same unit. He also went on to attend the Ordnance Missile System training and spent most of his career in the missile field. He's the awardee of the Defense Distinguished Service Medal, the Bronze Star for Valor with two Oak Leaf clusters, five Legions of Merit, and more. And he's on the line right now. Major General Joe Arbuckle, how are you, sir?
Hi, Phil. I'm doing great. It's a real pleasure to be back speaking with you again, especially on the topic of the Army's birthday and that great parade on Saturday.
Yeah, wasn't that something? I watched the entire thing. I know off-air you told me you did, too. 3 hours, it actually kind of flew by.
It certainly did. I just couldn't pull myself away from it. I was puffing up too much with pride, I think, in what I was seeing. You know, you and I have been in many, many parades. We've marched many miles in those parades, and we've certainly watched a lot more than we participated in. And I got to say, that was absolutely the best parade I have ever seen and probably ever will see. It just doesn't get any better than that. If the average American's blood doesn't get flowing in the right direction after watching that, then it never will.
I completely agree. And I saw one of the announcers, I don't know what channel you watched it on. I actually watched it on Fox. And one of the commentators said, they guarantee that recruiting numbers are going to go up after the parade.
You bet. I'm sure they have and will. And all retention, which is equally important, as you know, in order to stay in the military, our service members have to take pride and have great satisfaction in what they're doing. And that parade will really boost that pride and satisfaction, I believe.
I agree with that. You know, and you've seen highs and lows in your career, and I have as well. And, of course, I come from an Army family with, you know, generational service, so I've seen it. Post-Vietnam was a malaise area. It was a tough time to be in. 9/11 happened, and there was a high point. I think the 80s, in my opinion, was one of the high points of modern sentiment in favor of the U.S. military under the Reagan era. But give me your thoughts on that. Have you seen anything like this since the Reagan era?
No, I haven't. You know, I was reflecting on that a little bit earlier today. As a matter of fact, thinking back on what was the second best parade I've seen, and that was that ticker tape parade that was led by General Schwarzkopf.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the, you remember that, in the end of the Gulf War. There were a couple million people there, they estimate. But even that parade was not like this. And to your point, yeah, we were at the peak, I think, of the pride resulting from everything that happened that was positive within our military in the 80s. And then we went into the 90s with the Clinton era, and that started going downhill at that point. You know, he was not very pro-military at all. In fact, he cut the size of the Department of Defense by about 33% overall, calling it a peace dividend because he said we no longer need the force we had during the Gulf War, took the money, put it into social programs. Of course, that got worse with Obama, and then most recently with Biden, where we've had all this political correctness injected into our military, which has done tremendous harm to our warfighting readiness, not to mention morale of the troops.
No, it absolutely has. And in fact, I wrote an op-ed that came out this morning. In fact, I may send it to you later. I started off by saying that after that parade felt like a moment when the U.S. military shook off what I call the Biden malaise. And squared its shoulders again and got some of its swagger back. And I think that is needed. I think the nation needed that.
Yeah, that's an absolutely great way to put that. Please do send it to me. I'd like to see it. There's been a turnaround. It's an amazing turnaround just since Trump took over. In fact, it even started, as you probably know, after the election in November when the recruiting numbers started slowly increasing. When the word got out that President Trump was going to end DEI and put us back on a warfighting footing. He called it, of course, rebuilding our military. And so there has been an amazing transformation just in the past approximate 4 months in that regard. The first thing that happened the day that he was inaugurated, he put out an executive order on the 20th, and in that he said many things. It addressed equal opportunity, but he said, and I quote, DEI is unlawful and immoral. Well, that really sums up the thoughts about it. He went on to issue about, Phil, I think it was four other executive orders for a total of five, all addressed at our military and restoring the warrior ethos in that and our readiness along with that. Those were backed up by Pete Hegseth putting out six or eight different memorandums, which are essentially orders, as you know, to the Department of Defense to implement the Trump EO's executive orders. So the point is, President Trump started it on day one, and the momentum has been building and building ever since. The whole focus, basically, is to get rid of DEI, which is divisive, and as I said earlier, unlawful and immoral, and replace it with what we've had for decades in our military, which has been time-tested and battle-proven, and that is equal opportunity for everyone, no matter what their skin color is, gender, or whatever else. And the second part of that is meritocracy. And that's so important because we've lost a lot of the meritocracy emphasis under DEI because DEI was focused on identity groups and preferences for identity groups. And by that, I mean, depending on race and gender and so forth. And that found itself into our selection processes for things like entrance to our service academies, promotion boards, key assignments like command and so forth. So all that's being flip-flopped and turned around in short order through these orders. And, there's an upswing still in recruiting. And I've just read earlier a little bit in retention that the figures are starting to show that. But it feels like to me, and I'm not even active duty anymore, but just sensing it, that the troops are feeling like a yoke is being lifted off their shoulders called DEI and political correctness. And they're being allowed to do what they signed up to do. And that is prepare for wartime readiness and be prepared to fight and win.
That's exactly right. And I heard Pete Hegseth said this the other day too. In fact, I just read it in an article a moment ago. He said that basically we're gonna show them once again that it's okay to be warriors. Basically leadership is saying we want you to be warriors. And that being said, sir, I know one of the things that. And you're with an organization called STARS, and before you came on the air earlier, I mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. STARS, and I'm proud to serve on the board of advisors for STARS. It stands for Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. And this organization, you being one of the founders, was designed for the purpose of trying to push back against wokeness and the DEI that you're talking about now. But one of the things I know y'all have taken on as a mission right now is to deal with the service members of all branches who were unjustly treated the way they were regarding COVID and even anthrax vaccinations. Tell me about that real quick.
Yeah, sure. We've had, thanks for being on a board of advisors also, Phil. You're a great addition to the team. We've had two strategic goals in STAR since we started about 5 years ago. And one of those is getting rid of DEI and putting the focus back on warfighting readiness. I've already talked about that. The second is getting rid of the mandatory COVID vaccination policy, and then seeking remedies for those that were harmed by it. Now, it's important to point out the COVID vaccination mandate is illegal, and it's been upheld that way in about eight different district courts. And so President Trump has issued another mandate, an executive order, to correct some of those harms done by allowing service members to come back on board in the military and some other things that are related to that. But part of the problem is many tens of thousands of service members who refused the illegal vaccination were harmed by it in terms of disciplinary actions taken against them for refusing the vaccination, letters of reprimand, and so forth. And about 55% of those who were discharged because of refusing the vax got less than honorable discharge.
Yeah.
And here they are, they're doing the honorable thing, doing the correct thing, and they got kicked in the teeth with that general discharge. And so what we proposed in STARS by sending a letter to the president on 2 June is asking President Trump to issue a universal pardon and amnesty to those who receive negative personnel actions, such as a less than honorable discharge. Now, why is that important? It's important because the current process right now is done on a case-by-case basis through a board, a Defense Board of Correction of Military Records. It takes sometimes years for a service member to get something corrected in their records that's wrong. And so it's not reasonable to assume that tens of thousands of those in that category under the COVID vaccination and anthrax, I might add, can seek and have those remedies addressed through the standard process. That's why we're asking President Trump to do this blanket pardon and amnesty. And if he sees that, I think it's going to ring a bell with him.
No, I think you will too. And I look at this and think it's amazing what we did, or not we, but it's amazing what the Biden administration did to service members, treating them A, like social experimentation, guinea pigs, and then B, discarding them when they didn't meet a narrative or an agenda. And even I think making adverse action against them for daring to have an opinion on things. And then even accusing the military of systemic racism and determined to implement critical race theory. All said and done, it's been an amazingly bad 4 years in terms of what leadership from the top down did to the U.S. military. I also hope that somewhere in the coming days, we're going to see some accountability for what happened with the pullout from Afghanistan, and somebody to be held to account for the downgrading of readiness. What do you think about that with accountability?
Well, absolutely true. Accountability is essential in order to correct the wrongs that have been done. And fortunately, that's one of Pete Hegseth's mottos. It's basically accountability, and that goes along with meritocracy, readiness, lethality, and increasing standards. So he's all about accountability. It's going to take a little time because there's so much to be done there, Phil, as you can appreciate, I think. But it's coming. I'm certain of it. And I know there are groups that are looking at not only people, but also the processes and procedures behind all this.
Well, sir, with about a minute left, your thoughts. Military's on the upswing, I think. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Let me give you a thought to close off the birthday and parade first, and that is without the United States Army, there would not be United States America.
Outstanding.
Period.
Hoo-ah.
That's it. Okay, now, regarding where we're headed, I've got a really good feel about where we're headed. All the proper executive orders have been issued by President Trump, and Pete Hegseth is all over this in terms of implementing those. But you and I know, and most of your audience knows, and in the military, I'm sure, that it's one thing to issue orders. It's another thing to ensure that they're properly executed. That's the phase we're in right now. Definitely headed in the right direction, but we just have to keep our foot on the gas to ensure all these things that have been issued are properly done. And that's going to take some time. And sadly, I think part of this DEI culture is entrenched so deeply with some people in the military, it's probably going to take a generation to see some of it wash out.
Well, at the very least, I think we're under the right leadership to make it happen. But hey, sir, again, as always, thank you for your time. Thank you for your service. And thank you for your continued service with STARS. And we'll stay in touch, okay?
Yes, sir. Same thing to you, Phil. Thanks for all your great service and continued service.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
All right, we'll take a break right now. That was Major General Joe Arbuckle. And I tell you what, when we get back, I'll tell you a quick story about how we connected. It's pretty amazing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.